For WNCW, I'm Joe Kendrick, continuing our series of looking back over the year 2016 in music as we bring in Saturday Night House Party hosts Mike Dew and Steve Blanton. They have been here for a while. I think maybe the harmonica had just been amplified about the time that they started here at WNCW. Looking back on some 2016 favorites.
I guess, of course, this is Mike, and Stephen and I don't get to be in the same room. They don't allow us to do that very often, so it's a pleasure being here. Me being the new kid on the block, I've only been here 15 years, so I want to turn it over to Steve and let him go first.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about. 2016 was an interesting year for blues releases, I think. There's several things that could be said. Let's start out from a more local and regional standpoint. I've been particularly fond of Marcus King's brand new release produced by Warren Haynes. And I am very fond of the Luxuriant Sedans Born Certified out of Winston-Salem.
Yeah, two of my that Luxuriant Sedans. And by the way, they just finished up in the studio and hope to have another disc out sometime. Yeah, I'm thinking springtime maybe, somewhere around there.
So I was in on the Saturday recording session.
You were indeed. I remember seeing that. Anybody that listens to the show, which I hope most of you guys do, know that I'm the one that colors outside the lines, probably more so than Steven. So I'm going to take a couple picks with some artists that are somewhat different. Start out with C6 Steve, one of the most bizarre, and I think bizarre is an accurate word to describe Steve. Had a great disc, Keep the Horse Between Me and the Ground. What else do we have on my outside? How about Tony Joe White's Rain Crow? I thought was a great disc, not blues per se, but the blues roots there, and just one of my favorite discs from last year, period.
From a more middle-of-the-road sort of standpoint, as far as modern blues are concerned, I've been very fond of Tommy Castro's Method to My Madness. I think one of the things that stands out to me about Tommy and his band is the consistently good output. His songwriting remains strong. His playing's better than ever. And you can just tell that those guys have been playing together for years. There's an empathy, I think, amongst the musicians there, and it comes across on the record pretty well. And for my money, for the modern blues thing, it just doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, and he's been out on the road, actually just came through the area fairly recently, and has been a frequent visitor to our region for many years now. Let's see what else I have on my list. How about we go to North Mississippi Hill Country? Start with a guy that actually is from the Clarksdale, Mississippi area. And first saw this guy play in a juke joint down in Clarksdale. Lightning Malcolm has a brand new disc out this year. Foot Soldier, I believe, is the name of the disc. Also, not quite Mississippi Hill Country born and bred, but the guys from Wichita, Kansas, Moreland and Arbuckle, were back out with another good disc. If you like Moreland and Arbuckle, this is a typical Moreland and Arbuckle disc. Good songs, great playing, great singing, great heart playing. Promised Land or Bust.
I thought it was one of their strongest releases to date.
I think that was their first release on Alligator Records as well. What else you got there, Stevie B?
Well, I can't say enough about Ronnie Earl. He's always been one of my favorites, and you have to look at another long-timer and Tinsley Ellis, whose album Red Clay Soul came out this year. You know, I was able to spend quite a bit of time with Tinsley a couple weeks ago, both on the air and then at venue in Asheville where he played. His love of the music and his understanding of where blues music has come, whence it's come, and where it's headed is probably about as knowledgeable as any modern artist that you could come to. And his songwriting still continues to be very strong. And I was talking with Jason Gardner, Red Dirt Revelator's drummer, last night about his guitar playing. We're talking about several different guitar players. We talked about Walter Trout, who had a new album out in 2016. Yeah. Glad to see his health recovered to the point that he could do that. Talk about Joe Bonamassa. Well, Trout and Bonamassa are two pretty similarly styled guys who can really, really fill it up. Tinsley can fill it up, but he doesn't. And I think that's one of the things that we like about him is that he leaves a lot of space in there.
Yeah. Yeah, as so many times I've heard before, it's not what you play, it's what you don't play.
Amen.
That separates the great ones from the good ones. How about a bargain? If you are new to the blues or if you just want to expand your collection, Alligator Records just turned 45 this year.
That's so hard to believe.
And they have a double disc 45th anniversary disc out. It's somewhere in the neighborhood of 40, 42 songs. And it's got everybody from Johnny Winter to Little Ed to about anybody that you can name, looking back over the history of 45 years with Alligator. So that is one of my favorites, just by the, not only the people that are on it, all the legends that are on it, but just the sheer value of it.
It's a real good representation of what that label has done consistently over the years. And I'll quote Tinsley Ellis again. He said, there's Alligator Records, and then there's everybody else.
Yeah, pretty much, pretty much. One of the most successful, I think, blues acts on the road right now, and it was good to see the women represented. And this young lady, in a very, very short period of time, has gone from playing 7,500-seat clubs to the last two times she's been through, played the neighborhood theater and did well, and that's Samantha Fish. Samantha's no joke. She is a remarkable guitar player, a good singer, and one of the best just shows and energetic performances that you'll find out there.
I've marked her progress since she's come on the scene, and I'll have to give her props for watching and listening to both her vocals and her guitar playing improve.
Yes.
As she goes along. There's never been any doubt in my mind about the energy that she brings to a performance. And given the paucity of quality female blues offings over the last several years, you know, she's got a lot going on. So
yeah.
I hope that we hear more from her, because she certainly got it to offer, I think.
How about on the legend side of things? There were three releases that were kind of re-releases or the first time they'd been released that came out that caught my attention. And all three are very, very good. The first one is Paul Butterfield Blues Band. Got a Mind to Give Up. It is a live recording back in 1969, I believe, if I remember right. Paul Butterfield Blues Band. Also, Johnny Winter with a bootleg live cuts, volume 13, I believe, is what it is. That's Johnny Winter in his prime, back through the 70s, and he just absolutely peeling paint off the walls with that thing.
That's platform shoes, Johnny Winter.
Absolutely. Right, stovepipe hat. the third one is another Muddy Waters. You know, we just continue to get, for a while, we kind of got Muddy Waters discs that were the lost tapes and all this kind of stuff, and the quality really wasn't very good. This one is Muddy Waters live at the Rising Sun, and it's quite a good live album. How about some classic Chicago blues? There's a little bit of that stuff still coming out, and not the new I Can Copy Chicago blues, but from Lurie Bell, son of the legendary Blues Hall of Famer Cary Bell. And Lurie is as fine of a blues guitar player as on the planet. He had a new one called Can't Shake That Thing. Also, John Primer, who spent a lot of years in Muddy Waters' band, has a new one out that'll never do for some more classic Chicago-style blues.
I think if you're looking for authenticity, you don't have to look too much further than Lurie Bell, because he certainly had his fair share of challenges personally.
Yes.
And I think that comes across pretty well in the music that he makes, and you know that could lead us to another in-depth discussion about what it means to be a blues artist.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's definitely lived the life, to say the least. Some mainstreamers, Eric Clapton, Buddy Guy, and Bonnie Raitt, all three had releases in 2016. I think it's, for my ears, the best Bonnie Raitt CD that I've heard her put out probably since back in the Nick of Time days.
Yeah, it is a good release. And I'm always been a big Buddy Guy fan. He's had such a tremendous influence on so many modern blues guitar players. And, you know, he's last of the old guard pretty much. And the fact that he can still crank it out, is he 80?
Yeah, he's 80 or maybe a little over 80.
You get it, buddy.
We're looking back on 2016 in the blues world here on WNCW, talking with Saturday Night House Party host Steve Blanton and Mike Dew. Gentlemen, can you tell us a little bit about what's going on in the blues world? What are some of the notable happenings? Who's really walking the walk and living the life of the blues?
That's a good question, Joe. And I, before we went on the air, we were talking about a gentleman by the name of Vasti Jackson. And Vasti is not a household name, but he has been around this music for a long time. He worked as a guitar player for like 16 years with Bobby Rush, and that gets you all the cred that you will ever need. Also worked with Katie Webster for many years. He's produced a lot of Alligator records. And I read an article by him, and he was kind of addressing what you're talking about. He was talking about where blues came from and how it evolved. And through the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, that blues music was not an act. It wasn't that you went to be entertained by blues. It became about because of the conditions of life at the time by the people that were making the music. And it was a release. You know, at this time, they couldn't go out and protest and walk down the street, but they could write these songs, and they could get a release from what was not a pleasant life. He also commented that in today's scene, that there are a lot of great players, and there are some really good acts and really good people that he enjoys working with and seeing. But on the other hand, there are some that are just acts. And he stated that he was offended by anyone that got on a stage and presented the blues as just a novelty and an act, that it went back to where the music came from. And there are too many people that did not understand where the music came from. And the ones that do and do bother to understand that are the ones that are out here today making good music.
We had a little conversation, too, before we got on the air this morning about Bill Evans at the University of Mississippi. He's a blues scholar, and he is concerned with the current state of the foundational basis of blues music, that from a literature standpoint in particular, that we haven't disseminated enough information to allow people to understand the complete breadth of blues music. And that would include the socio and economic parts of the genre. You can't pull those things apart. They have such a tremendous impact on what those artists experienced and then therefore wrote about and then performed. I have to agree with Mr. Jackson and in your assessment of it, Mike, because a lot of it is just about entertainment today.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of picking up. I won't go so far as to call it a shtick, but
a lot of it gets very close.
It is close. It sure is. As far as the current state of artists that are bringing something fresh to it and still, I think it's important. I'll digress a moment. I think it's important for the blues to continue to evolve. And I think there's a couple of artists there on Alligator Records. Once again, you've got Jerika Singleton and you've got Selwyn Birchwood. I think these guys are doing a pretty credible job in taking the blues forward. And being younger men, they have an opportunity to influence a younger listening audience, hopefully, because my personal concern is that younger people don't have the exposure to blues music that would do more to keep it a viable part of music and music consumption. And I hope that these two young men are going to continue to be real strong in what they put out to encourage that sort of additional listenership.
Yeah, and I think that's an excellent point about the young listenership. We're getting of the age that we don't generally go out during the week to see shows. So if the music is going to survive, it has to get younger. It has to grow. It has to expand. For me, a great band that kind of expands the traditional form of the blues is Red Dirt Revelators. Their sound is so fresh, it doesn't sound like, I don't want to see another Chicago style band. When you start copying and you're not adding your own take to it, then you are not doing a service to the music, past or present, in my opinion.
Well, you know, I'll have to agree with the Red Dirt Revelators. You know, I'm pretty close to those guys, and you know them exceptionally well, too. They can play two notes. They can have something done on a recording, and I've never heard it in the two notes. I can tell you who it is. I mean, that's how singular they are. And that sort of thing is not completely necessary moving forward for music to survive. But when it does, it shows that there is there's a true artistic impulse there with those guys.
Yep.
And the fact that they have so much accumulated experience in performance makes them a real vibe, that they're someone to reckon with when it comes time for music to be made, blues music in particular. Granted, they have a little bit of a rock edge to what they do, but there's such a heavy Mississippi influence because of Willie Shane Johnston's background.
Yeah, and you go to one of their shows and you will see people from, you know, from 20-year-olds that absolutely love it to 70-year-olds that absolutely love it. And I think finding that formula is what moves this music forward. And another thing that really kind of is a hindrance, or not really a hindrance, but a reason that not only blues, but most roots type music is not going to ever, I don't think you're ever going to see another superstar in blues. I don't think you're ever going to see somebody at the level of B.B. King, certainly, but Buddy Guy's level. I think Buddy getting to that level was kind of a reward for all the years he was pretty much ignored. And Steve Hecht, our former colleague Steve Hecht, mm-hmm. He and I were in a discussion some years ago, and I think he hit the nail on the head. He said there will never be another mainstream blues star because there is not a radio station left that's going to play The Thrill Is Gone every 2 hours for 3 months. So there is zero possibility of anyone having a legitimate blues hit on mainstream radio. There is zero chance of that ever happening. Without that happening, then you're not ever going to have someone that crosses over and, you know, you take The Thrill Is Gone away from B.B. King. You take zero airplay from that. And yeah, B.B. King's still the greatest, one of the greatest of all time. But how many people know that? And I think that's the situation we're in now.
You know, I think another thing that if we talk about the current state of blues music is venue viability.
Absolutely. And that has not been good recently.
No, and with the advent of the Double Doors closing this coming January, you know, we're looking at one of the hallmark blues institutions in America closing its doors forever. So, I mean, where artists to find a place to replace that? You know, I'm at a loss to tell you what that is.
Yeah, and in addition to the Double Door closing, we lost the Handlebar down in Greenville. Amos's South End in Charlotte announced that they're going out probably sometime between now and spring. Lost Tremont Music Hall, lost Pterodactyl Club. So it's not just blues and roots genre. You know, a lot of these clubs were just straight up rock and roll headbanger clubs. But that's another stage lost to live music. So I think in a lot of ways, live music as a whole is being somewhat threatened at this point.
We should have a big panel discussion about that very topic one of these days.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. We're looking back on 2016 and blues music here on WNCW as part of a series wrapping up the year with Steve Blanton and Mike Dew. Thanks so much, guys.